Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, all my dear friends. This is your spokesman with the plan, Clarence Cloverleaf, welcoming you to Cloverleaf Radio on the JIA Network. You can listen to our shows on close to 20 different streaming platforms, including Anchor, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Radio Public, and YouTube, to name a few. I've helped compile a list of our best guests since 2008, and those interviews have been scattered about the cloud, as they say. Something I thought we only received rain from. Go figure. So, go find yourself a good one, and you can listen 24/7, 365, to guests from all genres of entertainment. You'll never know who could show up. Check out www.jianetwork.com. And now, on to the main event with your host, the host with the most, Jimmy Falcon, and, well, quite frankly, anyone as his guest. Enjoy the show!
All righty, we are back for another exciting edition of Cloverleaf Radio. I'm the host of most, Jimmy Falcon. Joining me today is Eric Scott Hawkins, the creator of that zombie full World of Oz. How's it going, man?
It is going great. How are you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. It's turned off cool for us, so I'm happy about that after that heat wave we had.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I guess starting out, you did so much in, in creating and on creating this work. How did you get interested in art? Because your art's very awesome.
Oh, well, thank you very much. But, I guess I just started out at a very young age. I remember in second grade drawing Godzillas on my notebook paper in school and getting in trouble from that for the teacher. Then I would draw like a World War II scenes. I'd draw a mountain and little caves in there and a bunch of stick figures fighting each other out. And I kept with art through school, through high school. I'd get an art class and learn new techniques and always enjoyed it quite a bit. But when I got in high school, I kind of dropped out after my freshman year of doing a lot of art. I took art class, and one of our projects was to draw a house. My teacher said, you should get into drafting. You'd probably be pretty good at that. So I spent the rest of my high school years doing drafting.
Well, doesn't that just sound like the man's man future and the dream of everybody that around? But it had to be interesting. I think, being able to draw any sort of planning for a house or even for a pool or something, getting that perfect, there's got to be a lot of strenuous detail and work that goes into something like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a lot of math in it. I'm not a big fan of math. I ended up following up after high school and getting a degree in drafting, which I never followed through with. But, it helps a lot with perspective drawing, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and I guess when you can draw and you have the ability to create characters, do you really need that much schooling?
No, not really. If it comes by naturally, you can always progress by learning and watching other people draw and picking up different techniques. And, I was collecting comic books at a pretty young age and, following all the old legends and looking at their art and picked up a lot of techniques from them as well.
Now, and being that you're such a big fan of comics and you grew up with them, who would you say gave you some of the biggest inspiration in creating the Zombie Full World of Oz?
As far as the Zombie Full World of Oz, I've always Jim Lee has nothing to do with zombies or anything like that, but I've always loved his style of artwork. Him and Mark Silvestri, some of Silvestri's stuff, especially after he moved over to Image and had some of those darker books, The Darkness and stuff like that.
Yeah, if I sat down with a pencil or a pen and a sheet of paper, my people turn out so weird. They have like three fingers and no neck, no shoulders. And I'm sure that especially drawing people and getting the facial features correct with the ears and the hairline and the eyebrows just so right, it has to be more to it than just sitting down to draw a background, so to say.
It does. I mean, you have to know a little bit about bone structure and muscle structure and all that, and how they layer on each other, how the muscles move when the body moves, and facial expressions, where the eyes sit. You know, they're actually in a socket and all that, and how the hair moves, all that stuff you got to pay attention to.
And going back 4 years now, I'm sure that seems crazy when you started imagining this project back in 2015. Where did you get the inspiration? I know, of course, zombie stuff is big these days with The Walking Dead and Z Nation and all the films that are out. But creating something to go with that, and thinking of The Wizard of Oz to go with that is one thing. It's got to be had to be a really interesting thought that came to your head. How did all that come about, and some of the things you went through to get this out to the masses?
Well, it kind of started out, I guess, The Walking Dead, it came out probably a few years before that. And when I first saw the previews for that, I was like, well, nobody's going to buy a zombie comic book. Then I saw that was working out pretty well, but it still wasn't in my mind yet to do a zombie comic book. I wanted to work on a different comic book for a long time. And then I actually saw a Panic at the Disco video for Right Sins and Not Tragedy.
Yeah.
And there was some very steampunkish looking circus characters in that video. So seeing that, I kind of want to do like a carnival comic book with a little steampunk flair to it. And as I was designing the characters, you know, some of them, I was making some little short ones for short people and stuff. And, you know, I started thinking of the Munchkins with the Wizard of Oz. And I started thinking, well, you know, steampunk Wizard of Oz would be pretty cool. Most of all the characters from the Wizard of Oz are in public domain.
Right.
So I started designing the characters. Then I started thinking, well, the witch is dead. So what am I going to do for, you know, a main antagonist here? So, oh, zombies. Why not use zombies? That'll be perfect. So I started designing the zombies as well and trying to decide. The hardest thing to decide, and I haven't put it in the book yet, it'll be in probably issue 2 or 3, where the zombies came from, what caused them to turn into zombies. But I mapped all that out before I actually started doing any drawing at all. So I've worked out 3 issues of a story, and then I started working on the first issue. And in between penciling that and coloring it and inking it and everything else, I would do some other projects. Like for Brian K. Morris, we did Spencer Spook, Nature Boy, Celebration Comics. So I was working with him, and when we did Spencer Spook, we learned a little bit about Kickstarter because we crowdfunded that on Kickstarter. And I figured that's what I was going to do with The Zoniful World of Oz once I had heard of Kickstarter. I'd never even heard of it. And that was going to be the best route for me to fund it and get it printed and out to people and get to shows and sell it.
I think at least I would hope a lot of people I know myself, when you sit down and watch a zombie film, it's not, the gore and, you know, what these zombies look like means a lot to it, but it seems like it's really good to know the backstory on, like you said, what happened to these zombies? Why are they like this? What did they do before this, so to say? It seems like maybe that's always in the back of your mind, so I think that's pretty cool how you're planning on going into that the next issues.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Yeah, it's actually going to be a very, very important part of the plot in the next 2 issues.
Yeah, before we all did SilCon, I had on Brian Morris, and I go, like, what are you up to these days? And he's like, well, let me tell you about Eric Scott Hawkins. And I'm like, ooh, who's Eric Hawkins? Let me hear about this man. And he told me all this cool stuff that you were doing with the Zoniful World of Oz, and just the idea struck me as something cool, because I admitted to him that I've never really been into comic books. I don't know why. I'm a nerdy guy about 97% of the way. I guess with the comics, I've got to be missing some, but... it does look like something I would even enjoy because it's got the colorful characters, it's got a good backstory to it, and I think mixing two worlds that are complete opposites like this is just a really awesome idea.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. I was actually, when I did the crowdfunding for it on Kickstarter, I got on a few YouTube shows and was promoting it, trying to get some backers, and I had Billy Tucci, the creator of She, I got on his crowdfunding comic show. And he actually said he liked it so much that he was mad at me because he didn't think of it first.
Well, that's got to be quite the props to hear from anybody. Like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was. It really got me. I was like, oh wow, because he's sort of a legend. I mean, he's pretty known for in comics, especially in the early 90s. And it was a humbling moment.
Oh, I'm sure it is. I mean, any time that you get to get props or get to work with, or even in my case, getting to talk to people that you grew up watching or reading their material, it's always really awesome and kind of feels like you're going all the way around in life.
Oh, definitely. Most definitely.
But as far as, you know, I know you've had some, you were working on some other things, so instead of just, I don't want to stick on this the whole time, but backing away from that for a second, what are some of your other ideas as far as comic books go? Because with your art style and, of course, with the mind of coming up with this, there's got to be some more stuff in there that's wanting to come out into the open.
Yeah, there's actually a few more stories. I actually designed quite a few characters back in the day, and two that I came up with recently were two priests, which would be werewolves, but they would hunt supernatural beings, and I called it the Hounds of God. I designed the characters, kind of came up with a backstory, but I haven't gone into production on that one yet.
The Hounds of God, I like it.
Yeah, well, there was a, Europe. Back, I don't know, 1500s, 1400s, a farmer who was put on trial said he was a werewolf for God. And every time the harvest came around, him and other werewolves would go to hell and battle the demons and come back. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. You know, a werewolf that works for God. So the main character is going to be that same guy. I'm going to act like he just doesn't age, and he's lived all these years hunting demons for God.
Wow. I wish I could, I wish I had the ability and the money to hand you a check, through the phone, just kind of push it your way, kind of at the speaker or something.
That'd be great. I wish we could do that.
That's the technology we should work on.
We should. I have another story that I've been working on for years, and just when Oz came along, I thought it would be better to do this one than that. It's more of a vigilante story. Main character is named Silence, and I was going to name the book Code of Silence, and it would be based here in St. Louis because I live just outside St. Louis, and he works for a government agency. His son gets hospitalized by illegal weapons being on the street from and gang members using them. He finds out the government agency he works for is providing the guns to the gangs on the street. So he turns to a life of being a vigilante and trying to get the guns off the street.
Wow.
I don't think I've actually ever told anyone about that one. Not too many people, at least.
Breaking news right here on Cloverleaf. We get an exclusive about the next terror to come out of the gateway to the west.
Yeah, you know, coming up with characters has always been fun for me. I've designed quite a few characters, but actually getting them all finally down on paper, and it just takes a while, especially, you know, with me doing the writing, the penciling, the inking, the coloring, and the lettering. It's like a one-man show, especially with Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I'm guessing you grew up a fan of this. I think everybody at least had seen the film a few times.
Yeah, we used to sit down and watch it when it came on TV every year like clockwork when I was kids. And just this year, I got to see it in the actual movie theater because they re-released it in the theaters. It was 80th anniversary, I believe. And we took one of my grandchildren to go see it, my granddaughter, and she just loved it.
That's so cool. That's awesome when they do things like that. It can really bring the generations together.
I believe so, yeah.
And I guess I was curious how steampunk fit into the whole thing. I know you mentioned some of the stuff with Panic at the Disco, but I think steampunk is really awesome. It seems to have had a resurgence in the last few years. And I think adding the whole things in with zombies and Oz is also a pretty awesome concept. So why steampunk?
Well, the more I started reading about steampunk and hearing about steampunk, a lot of the visuals I thought would be appealing to the Zombieful World of Oz being set in the early 1900s. You know, all the flying ships with the big balloons on top of them, I thought that looked really cool. The way cities looked, the clothing, the tall hats, the big long trench coats, and the old-fashioned clothing and all the gears and metal and stuff. And especially when I was designing the Tin Man, I thought that would be very fitting for him.
Yeah, I like the designs, looking over the designs on the Facebook page. How you envisioned these classic characters was really awesome because, thinking from either reading the books or watching the movie and then seeing how you adapted history and then brought in your own flair, it's really cool.
Oh, thank you very much. A lot of thought went into a lot of these characters, especially the Tin Man, because I redesigned him about four or five different times.
Yeah, I think the longer you spend on a certain project, the better it turns out to be. I read of people working on films for 10 years, and just the thought of that amazes me. And then being that you did all this stuff yourself, it even has to be even harder to think of a deadline at the end of the project because you want it perfect.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have to give yourself deadlines or you'll never get it done. So with the second issue, I'm hoping to have that done by April and do another crowdfunding for that. And it's going to be twice as size of the first one. So I'm hoping I can get it done in time.
Well, that would be very cool.
Yeah, I've actually, the first four pages are 100% complete. And they are actually a preview in the Advocator Presents, which is a sort of an anthology book that's being crowdfunded right now. So I've been telling everybody that follows me, if you want to see the first four pages of the Zombieful World of Oz number two, go back to the Advocator Presents.
Very awesome. Yeah, I think Kickstarter does a lot of awesome things. I think I found out about them a few years ago. It's helped a lot of people realize some awesome projects, from books and comic books to movies and anything you could think of. I think it's an awesome idea that there is a service like this that you can go and show your product off, and if it is awesome enough, then people are going to go with it.
Yeah, definitely. Kickstarter and Indiegogo have been very popular with comic book creators, especially indie creators right now. And there's been actually some professional artists and writers come over to those platforms and fund some books. Just recently, Doug Tenaple, the creator of Earthworm Jim, he had done some graphic novels with Image and some other companies, but he just did another graphic novel of Earthworm Jim, the first one in, I think, a couple of decades. And it is, I think it funded at $880,000. It was the highest Indiegogo funding for a book ever.
That is crazy.
I know. I was hoping for that, but I only got like $2,400.
Well, I think maybe number three sent $85,000, and then you can go to town.
Oh yeah.
But I noticed you started doing the con circuit, as I like to call it, lately. And are you having a good time with that? And everybody enjoying hearing about the Zombieful World of Oz?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, a lot of people come by and they love, the idea. They love the artwork. And I've had so many compliments and meeting a lot of great people. I've only heard of a lot of authors that are on Brian's his YouTube channel. They talk to him a lot. And I finally met a lot of them, and it's been great. You know, I started out going to Perryville, Missouri was my first show, Heroes for Kids convention back in July. Had a great time there. Then up at SilCon. That was pretty cool. Then I just did SalukiCon, and that was great. Met a lot of people there, a couple of new artists I'd never met. And we traded information and stuff and traded some art. It was really cool. And then I got the Paducah Galaxy Heroes coming up next weekend. And then I'll be in Hannibal, Missouri in April of next year for the Big River City or Big River Comic Con.
Sounds like you have a plate chock full of conventions.
I'm trying to get more on the docket, too.
Well, the next one, I'm sure you may know of this by now, but the next one I'm involved with here for my cheap plug of the show is Dark History and Horror Con.
I have heard of that one, yes.
And, of course, I think that would fit in because there's a lot of spooky darkness to your comic. It seems like the good kind. So I think it would work out well in that in the whole Dark History Con situation.
Yeah, I actually had someone at SilCon ask me if I was going to be at that one. And I was like, well, I don't know much about that one yet. I'll have to check into that. But, you know, my book's not as dark as the actual books. The actual books are pretty creepy and very dark.
Well, I guess not knowing, I haven't read any of the actual books, not knowing that knowledge, I guess it was a different time, so it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, yeah. The movie is quite, well, it's not a whole lot different, but it is very different from the books, because there was a whole series of books. And you know, the slippers for one thing. In the book, they're silver shoes, not ruby slippers. So if you do anything public domain like I am, you can't do anything with ruby slippers because in the book they weren't ruby slippers.
Right.
Now, the one thing I found the darkest, because I did read all the books after, especially after I started deciding to work on this, was the story of the Tin Man. His name was actually Nick Chopper, and he was in love with a Munchkin girl, and he had an axe that ended up being cursed by a witch. Every time he used it, it cut off a limb, so he had to replace it with a tin limb until it chopped off every part of his body, including his head. So he was just a man of tin after that. And a few books later, he runs into his ex-fiancée, who's now married, to all the pieces of his old body that came back together, and there's someone living as that person now.
I think the original name would work great for a professional wrestling character.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
Nick Chopper!
They didn't come out with an axe.
That's a messed up backstory, too. You're just losing pieces, and you're like, I got a piece of tan out in the shed. Let me Jimmy rig it onto my leg here.
Yeah, yeah, and these were children's books in the early 1900s.
Christmas. No wonder the ancient days was kind of crazy looking back now, but I guess in 150 years, everybody will say that about us, too.
Oh, they probably will. They will. They probably will. One of the characters was actually probably progressive for its time. There's a character called Ozma of Oz, and she's the queen of Oz, but she was kidnapped as a baby. There's two different stories. She was, the wizard gave her away as a baby so he could take over Oz, or she was kidnapped. It varies in the book. But a witch ended up turning her into a boy.
Oh.
And she lived her like first 12 years as a boy.
Hmm.
And then Dorothy, I believe it was Dorothy, came back to Oz again, and they discovered that Kip was the name of the boy, or Pip, and they found out he was the actual queen of Oz, so they turned him back into a girl.
That is very progressive. That's amazing. Well, the last question I always like to ask, and I know we probably covered some of this in my earlier round of insanity, but what does the future hold for you?
Oh, well, the future holds obviously getting the Zomerfeld World of Oz 2 finished and published, and 3, and as many issues as I can get out. I have enough stories in my head for probably for 20, 30 issues of it. Currently, right now, I'm finishing up the art for Celebrity Ghost Hunters, which was written by Brian K. Morris. It is actually funding right now on Kickstarter. It's a true life story of Kodrosha Ona, Queen of the Paranormal, and some of her celebrity friends. They went on a ghost hunt. And this is the actual story they gave Brian. They gave Brian the plot. Ryan wrote it out, and they agreed with it. That's what happened. So we're doing a crowdfunding for that, try to get that book published. I think Brian and I are going to work on a couple other projects. We'd like to see Spencer Spook brought back to life and do another Nature Boy story. And I would definitely like to get Hounds of God off the ground floor and get that printed and get working on that.
Yeah, I think the ideas you've got are really awesome. And Katarosha is a sweetheart. And I
think, I got to meet her up at Silicon. She was really sweet.
Yeah, she was very, very nice. And I think every idea that you've told me about is something that's going to be pretty awesome, I believe. I believe the future holds really good things for you, Eric. I hope that we run into each other back in the conventions again. I think you should check out Dark History Con. I can send you some more info about it if you are curious.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, definitely send me the info on it.
Absolutely. Thanks again for joining us, Eric. Have a great night.
Hey, you too. Thanks for inviting me. I appreciate it.
No problem. All righty, guys, we are going to be back October 8th. We're welcoming actor, producer, director Christopher St. Booth. He has just been announced this past week, I believe, for 2019's Dark History and Horror Con, which I mentioned is October 22nd, 27th, 2019 at the City Center in Champaign, Illinois. You can visit dhhcon.com for more info. And big thanks again to Eric Hawkins. I'm really upset about I don't know what happened a few days ago with the Brian Holtzman interview. Blog Talk was having some issues, and I go to Anchor, and the script ran out after 28 minutes. I was holding my phone up to my laptop speaker, and good cramps in the arm there. But we will be rescheduling him. He has agreed to come back on and let me ramble for another half hour. Hopefully this one records. So be sure and check out jnetwork.com. And, of course, our anchor, I just uploaded some interviews. Our interview from last Friday with veteran CNN sports anchor Larry Smith was up there, as well as some old Dark History Con interviews. So be sure and check those out. We will be back on the 8th. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great night.